Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, greetings, folks. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. I'm Chris Brown, and I'm your host, who's honored to serve you. This is the show where we talk about your life and your money as we reclaim stewardship, which is managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. You can learn more at stewardship.com and be sure to check out the Chris Recommends section where there is a plethora of resources available to you. Again, that's stewardship.com and Chris Recommends. We're here. We're taking your calls, 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. Well, from Dayton, Ohio, this is Christy. Christy, how you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. My mother and I are in a disagreement, and we are hoping that you can tell me that I'm the right one.
Uh-oh, there you go. I'm picking sides already.
I've been through FPU, and I don't borrow money for anything except the mortgage on our house.
I'm on your side.
I recently had to buy a car, and I bought a 2004, so it's about 11 years old. I brought it home 75 miles into having owning it.
Mm-hmm.
I paid cash for it. And owning it, it needed $2,000 worth of repairs.
Okay.
So my mom said, well, you should have bought a new car. You should have bought a newer car. And I said, well, Mom, I didn't have the money for that. And so she said, well, then just borrow a couple thousand dollars. You know, she's thinking $15,000 car, just borrow a couple thousand dollars. Because then you don't have to then pay the money out of pocket for the repairs. So my question, is it financially wise in the long run to borrow money to buy a better, newer car because then you have less potential problems down the road?
Well, if the options were only A and B,
which
you only gave me two options, the answer would still be your way, regardless. But there is another option. To buy a newer car and to save up a little bit longer to buy a newer car is probably going to be more advantageous. However, borrowing money to be able to buy a little bit newer of a car is not. There is another option. There is to be a little bit more patient, and there is to, you know, to save up a little bit more. Don't borrow, but, you know, to buy a little bit newer of a car. Now, the problem with what you just experienced is not the philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with what you just experienced is you got a bad car.
Yeah.
It's not anything wrong with the philosophy. You could get a new car and have issues.
Wouldn't it be under warranty then, and they would just fix it for you?
Yeah, if you wanted to pay another $80 a month for a warranty. A lot of those warranties you have to pay extra for. The ones that are provided for you, they only cover the major components. They don't cover anything that's out. They only cover the things that are not going to go wrong because they're actually, those warranties are calculated in a way where the risk is all on you, and they're going to make profit off of those warranties. So the warranties, don't think they're putting together those warranties for your benefit. I personally, there's nothing wrong with this philosophy. I personally have two 2005 cars, and I've had them for a while, and they both run perfectly. And I'm going to drive them for a very long time. I've always had older cars. They're very comfortable. The seats are already broken in for you. You know, there's nothing wrong with the philosophy of buying an older car. You just happened to buy one that was right before it was having some major issues. So that's part of it. That's the reason why Proverbs 21:20 says to make sure that in the house of the wise is choice food and oil. We've got to be ready for the unexpected. Some things pop up. But just because you have a newer car doesn't mean things aren't going to pop up also. So it's not a philosophy thing that her philosophy is better. It's actually worse because you don't want to borrow money. But being patient to maybe buy something that's 3 or 4 years old, well, shoot, that's not bad. But buying new, if she's talking about, is it better to buy new? Definitely not. Definitely.
Yeah, she was saying 2012 or newer.
If you can afford a 2012 car and it fits in your budget and you've got the cash for it, then yeah, of course, that's better. You can drive it longer. But if you don't have it, you don't have it. The bottom line is we don't spend money we can't afford. And that's the bottom line. And you've already made a decision, and you're managing the decision, and she's just challenging you on your philosophy. But it goes back to the Bible. The borrower is slave to the lender. Romans 13:8 says that we're to owe no man anything except for to love one another. So it just comes back to that. You got to choose, am I going to do it God's way, or am I going to do it what seems to be right with my peers or with family?
Thank you so much.
You got to choose who you believe. Okay?
Thank you.
Remember, folks, the phone lines are open. Feel free to call 866-357-3283 at 866-357-3283. Or you can email in if you don't want to be on air and that kind of intimidates you. You can just email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisonair@stewardship.com. This email comes in from Amy. She says, I love your show and listen to your podcast every single day while I'm at work. It helps make my day brighter and gives me so much encouragement. I have been following the baby steps and I am currently on step 2. I have a question about student loans. I consolidated them right after I got out of college about 6 years ago, before I knew any better. My current principal balance is about $13,500, and my interest rate is 5.75%. My interest is calculated on a daily basis, so I'm accumulating about $2.66 per day of interest. That's about $64 a month of just interest. My question is this. I want to make additional payments to my student loans so that I can pay them off quickly, but when should I send in these additional payments so that the money is going towards the principal balance and not toward the interest? Thanks for your ministry. I think number one, Amy, is you've got to ask them. Unfortunately, it's their loan and you've got to play by their rules. And so, whatever they say that you can do and under the constraints of your obligation in your contract, that's what you got to do. The key component here is that you pay it off aggressive as possible. You're talking about a $13,000 deal and you're talking about a $64 a month deal. So you've got $64 a month and then you've got $13,000. I would give a hyper focus towards the $13,000 and a secondary focus towards the $64 a month. Both are important, but primary needs to be, how do I make some $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 payments? How do I just crush this thing? And that's probably more important. But play by their rules. If it means, if they allow you to write in daily checks, then do it. If it's weekly, then do it. If it's biweekly, just do it as fast as possible so you pay as little interest as possible. Thank you so much for your email. And now we have a call from Minneapolis. Steve, how are you?
Hey, good, Chris. Thanks.
How can I help you?
Well, I have an opportunity to take a work trip to northern Italy to see the quarries and the carving studios where the artists work. I'd like to bring my wife. And so I just wanted to kind of walk through this because I'm technically in baby step 2.
What do you do for a living?
I'm the foreman for the stone carvers and the bull masons at the Minnesota State Capitol.
Cool. And you said opportunity. So what kind of I know it's obviously an opportunity to go to Italy, but career opportunity, how is this an opportunity for you?
They're going to pay all my expenses for me. But what it is I'll end up right with the fabricators, which obviously northern Italy is where some of the largest artist studios in the world are, get to meet some of those artists face-to-face, and it's such a different relationship when you're actually there with those people. Versus, doing it on phone or FaceTiming or whatever that would be. So,
Okay. When is the trip?
Trip would be, I guess it'd be about 6 weeks, 7 weeks from now.
And what's the total estimated cost for, I guess, her side of it?
The estimated cost for my wife, maybe, which will be a month old, and some of our additional travel expenses, I'm guessing it's going to be close to about $2,500. That would include the airline tickets, extra travel. We want to stay a few days past the meetings and not live real high over there, but still see a few things beyond the town of Massa where we're going to be. So $2,500, which I do have cash. But the reason I had cash was because I was waiting until baby came healthy, and that was all going to go towards a student loan debt. Actually, it was going to wipe out my student loan debt, and the last debt I had was going to be some unsecured credit card loan.
Okay. How much total debt do you have?
I have $11,000 in credit card debt and $4,000 exactly in student loan debt.
How much do you have saved?
Oh, I have $1,000 in cash and in my emergency fund, and I have about $6,000 aside from that. So it's, again, not baby step three. It was supposed to go towards the debt once baby was here healthy.
Yeah. How much? What's your income?
Last year and this year, I'll make about $100,000.
So on a monthly basis, what are you budgeting for? Are you budgeting for right around 8,000 or?
No, I budget around six.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal, Steve. Let me simplify this for you. You make too much money to have this little rinky dink debt going on here. You need to just cream it. This is silly because you have the six. I would pay that immediately towards your debt. Boom. It goes from 11 to five. Immediately.
Yeah.
And then your five, you can take care of in 2 months. I mean, you'd be done and you'd be done with the entire thing in 3 months. I mean, I would just completely slay this thing. You make too much money. I'd get rid of all that. You can be baby step three in the next 3 months. Now, regarding the trip, I personally wouldn't take it. I've got this funny feeling that when I give you that advice, you're going to go anyway. I wouldn't take it. I would know for that amount of money, for $100,000 that I make a year, I could take my wife to Italy. If it's be $2,500 twice, it'd be $5,000, which is still small in your world. You could take your wife to Italy later and not have to be making payments when you get back. So I wouldn't do it. The reality is you don't have the money. You don't. You have six in savings and you have 15 in debt. So you actually don't have the money. It looks like you do, but you don't. So,
right.
I mean, I know it's hard to say no. I mean, I've said no to a lot of trips, even recently, because I've got these goals that I have that I'm having to say no a lot to a lot of things. And I know it stinks to say no, but, you know, delayed gratification is a very rare sign of maturity in today's culture. And you can either show it or you can choose to go. But I personally wouldn't go because I don't think you have the money. But I'm not negating the fact that there's tension there and it's a decision to make. But I know you can take your wife to Italy in better circumstances in probably less than a year and a half, and you'll know that you did it the right way. And you can still go on this trip.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Yeah, and here's the deal. The next time you take her, you're going to be an expert, and you can show her a better time.
Thank you very much, Chris. I appreciate it.
Oh, hey, check it back in with us. Let us know what you did. We're all curious.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Steve. Well, folks, I don't know if you remember my story, but there was a time in my life that I was so far into debt that I couldn't imagine a way out. And then I remembered the principles that I was taught in Financial Peace University. That class has come to mean the world to me and my family. Financial Peace University has helped me and more than 2.5 million families learn God's ways of handling money. It's easy. It's practical, and it will change your life. Learn more about Financial Peace University by visiting stewardship.com and click on Chris Recommends. Again, that's stewardship.com or call us at 866-357-3283. 866-357-3283.
We appreciate you joining us for Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Next up is Frank calling in from San Antonio, Texas. Frank, how can I serve you?
All right, so I have a question about throwing my credit card debts into a refinance on my home. Currently owe about $64,000 on my home. About $10,000 credit card debt. I'll make this year I'm going to make probably around $70,000-$75,000.
Okay.
And I was just wondering if that was a good idea to do that or...
Is your $10,000 all in one debt, or is it multiple debts?
No, it's multiple. It's about two or three.
Okay. What's your smallest one?
My smallest one is actually, we're going to consolidate it right now onto a credit card we just got with no interest on it. So all of that is going to end up being somewhere around $6,000 for that one.
Okay. Now, how much is it before the consolidation? What's the smallest one?
About $500.
Okay. So, Frank, I don't think you need to do any consolidations. It's just either going to extend your term, or it's going to appear to reduce your payment amount, but you're going to be paying some kind of fee for that, I'm sure. Making $75,000 a year and only having $10,000 in credit card debt, you should be able to slam that in less than 9 months. You should be able to just drill that in the teeth.
Well, the thing is, last year I made $96,000, and you know, I rack up a lot of things. You know, I didn't live in comfortable.
I know what you're saying. I can read between the lines, my friend. You're a spender. And
yeah.
Hey, listen, you're making too much money to have debt. Come on now. And it's yeah. You know, there's no amount of money that you should have debt. But for you, you're doing really well with your income, and you just need to learn how to say no. And so
it's with the bills that we have now versus how much I'm making now, it's not allowing us to pay off those debts.
Frank, you need to sit down and do a budget. You need to realize where your money's going. And there's a great website I want to send you to. It's called everydollar.com. Everydollar.com is a free budgeting app where you can just put all your stuff in. It's very user-friendly. It has an app tied to it. It syncs up with your phone. If you want to get a raise, if you want to find out where all that money is going, John Maxwell says a budget is telling your money where it should go instead of wondering where it went. You've got money seeping out little holes in your pocket. It's there. Your money to pay off this debt, it's already there. And so you just got to find it. You got to find out where it's seeping out. It's seeping out at a movie theater on Friday night. It's seeping out at going to a restaurant. It's there. You can find it. You just have to sit down and find it. So
I know what you're saying. To be honest with you, I was a lot worse a few months ago. And me and my wife, we got a little bit more discipline, you know, kind of because we had to.
Frank, here's what I teach. Here's what I teach. I teach a debt snowball. It takes care. You get rid of your lowest debt, and then the payment that you save because that debt is no longer there, you put that towards your next smallest debt, and that's how you climb out of debt. Now, no matter how you try to reduce your debt, it's never going to go away until you change your behavior. And you've got to get mad at debt. You've got to hate debt. You've got to make sure that debt is not in your life. It's not a way of life at all. And I really want to see if we can get that changed in your behavior, your philosophy, your worldview, not to use debt anymore. So what I would like to do is I'd actually like to give you what we call Financial Peace University. It's a tremendous resource that teaches you how to do this and how to live without using debt. And if you would promise to sit down and to engage with it, I want to give it to you for free. So okay. Would you be willing to do that?
I definitely will. I mean, I need to do something. I can't keep going the way that I'm going right now. I am totally beginning to hate debt. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like the old ball and chain.
Yeah, it sure is. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is enslaved to the lender. And that's what you feel right now. Every time when you go to pay your payments. Romans 13:8 says to owe no man anything except for to love one another. And so you really want to make sure you stay away from debt. And the primary teacher in Financial Peace University is my mentor, Dave Ramsey. And he's going to slap you sideways a little bit when it comes to this debt. And you seem to be a guy who likes a little bit of tough coaching, and he'll provide that for you.
All right.
So I'm going to hang up here, and Amanda is going to pick up, and she's going to get your address, and we're going to mail it to you free of charge. All right?
Thank you. I appreciate your advice.
All right. Thank you so much. Next call is Elena calling in from Tucson, Arizona. Elena, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I am blessed. How can I serve you?
I have a question for you. I'm following Dave Ramsey's baby steps, and I'm currently on baby step number 2. I have a car payment or a car loan for $8,000 and a student loan for $5,000, and I currently have $5,000 saved. And I know that the idea of baby step 2 is to throw all your money at the debt, but I am absolutely terrified to take any money out of my savings and put it towards my debt. And I don't know how to rectify my fear.
Mm. Elena, where do you think that absolutely terrified comes from?
I don't know. Just from a past experience, when I first moved to Tucson, I had moved, I had gotten everything done, and like my second day here, I got into a car accident. And I completely wiped out my savings to pay for this car accident that I had. So now I'm just, I don't think I'm going to ever get into a car accident again, but now I'm so.
So you had petrified. Money, you had money in the bank, and then you had an emergency pop up, and then you used the money that was in the bank, the emergency money for an emergency.
True.
So what happened that was unexpected? I mean, you had an emergency fund, an emergency happened, and guess what? You were in position. You could do it. Way to go. So that's good. That's fine. Hopefully you're okay from your accident. Are you?
Oh, yeah.
The reason why I asked that question is because that fear, that absolutely terrified, to use your words, doesn't come from God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." And so, for me, when I'm thinking, first of all, let me ask you your income. What's your income?
$22,000 a year.
Okay. And your monthly budget, are you making budget? Are you spending less than that? What's your budgeting process look like?
I'm pretty much budgeted to, I have like an extra $100 every time I do my budget, which I've been throwing at my student loan.
Okay.
So I'm pretty much set.
Okay. Anything alarming gonna on the horizon? You see anything that's is your roof like 45 years old, or do you have a car that's completely filled with rust? Do you have anything that's alarming that maybe you can see on the horizon?
I don't. It's just I make these scenarios in my head of the second I use it, like someone's in the hospital, or I just scenario it.
Yeah.
Way.
Yeah. Yep, you're a paralysis of analysis, right? And you know that most of our worry that we worry about, and this is for all of our listeners, I'm not just picking on you, Elena, but they don't ever happen. We worry about stuff that doesn't even happen. So here's your, I guess, my long way of getting to the answer. You want to take 4,000 of that 5,000 and attack your smallest debt, which it sounds like is your student loan, right?
Yes.
And
that's correct.
Yeah, and so I would do that, and I would at the same time. You won't like this. This is what I would do. I would take a quarter time or a part time job, and all for about 6 months.
Okay.
And for 4 to 6 months, and I would pay off both of them, and all 13,000 would be gone. That means in 4 to 6 months you'll start rebuilding that. So it's only 4 to 6 months where you need to not make sure you don't get in a car accident. So you just want to limit that time. You can be in control of whether that's 9 months, whether it's six, or whether it's four, or whether it's two. So you can control that, and you know that about yourself, that you struggle with anxiety, and that's a reality in your life in this particular area. And if that's true, well, you can make it 2 months. You just go out there, and what you're doing is you're trading. I'm going to trade a little bit of rest and relaxation, and I'm going to work my tail off so that I don't have to feel the anxiety for very long. You choose. If you want it to be 9 months, it's up to you, but you have control. You can go out there and get an extra job and hammer this thing and get it out of your life. That's what I would do. I'd go nuts. I'd go after it.
Okay.
But don't touch the $1,000. Only do four. Keep the $1,000 there, because then if some of those things like a flat tire, or anything like that pops up, you're prepared for that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Elena. Well, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point where the host asks you for your financial support, but we're here as a free service. So you can help us by telling your friends and family to listen to the show and to check out stewardship.com. And while you're at stewardship.com, remember, check out our new resource called Chris Recommends. You'll find articles by me. You'll find articles by other writers, and you can find out more about Financial Peace University or our endorsed local providers. And of course, all of our life-changing books. And for you podcast listeners, would you consider leaving a review on iTunes? Stay connected with me at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's been an honor to serve you. Today, we've been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So, Let's continue to manage His blessings His way and for His glory. God bless you.